Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
The tennis world is once again in an empire state of mind. The best in the world won't be satisfied with anything other than conquering the concrete jungle. Top seed on the men's side, Carlos Alcaraz.
It's been 15 years since a male player has come here to defend a title and done it successfully.
I'm hoping for a Djokovic-Alcaraz final.
Got all these key Americans in action today. The top-ranked woman, Jessie Pegula. Highest she's ever been seeded here
at this event.
Madison Keys, former finalist here at the U.S. Open.
Pretty routine for Medvedev. He's a great hardcore player.
Daniil Medvedev setting up his own bakery inside Arthur Ashe Stadium. And your Aussie Open champ, Aryna Sabalenka, can once again overtake Iga Swiatek for world number one, depending on her result here.
Sabalenka is never easy to put away.
Great to have you here with us. We are going to get you set for big second round matches today. Welcome to TC Live at the U.S. Open, our two-hour pregame show to get you ready for first ball here on day four. The city of New York has always served as a passageway for millions of people to build a new life and achieve the American dream. And as the only major in America, the U.S. Open is a veritable gateway to tennis greatness. We've got your passport to all the action on Arthur Ashe Stadium. Andy Murray and Grigor Dimitrov meeting for the first time in nearly 7 years, followed by former finalist Madison Keys. The night session has returning men's champ Carlos Alcaraz up first, setting the stage for top-ranked American Jessie Pegula. Players coming on site. There is Big Banks. Chris Eubanks feeling better today, playing doubles with Ben Shelton. They're taking on the top seeds, Wesley Kulhoff and Neil Skupski. And how about Big John Isner? Back to play, looking to continue his career another day. He's got singles against Michael Moe and a big doubles match with Jack Sock later today as well. As we welcome you back into our studios, the whole squad with you, Steve Weissman, Chanda Rubin, John Wertheim, Paul Anacone, getting you set for a big day four. Some of our colleagues getting huge wins yesterday, Caroline Wozniacki, Jen Brady getting a win, Taylor Townsend getting a win. Plus, it seems like everybody is getting sick in New York right now. What's the biggest thing on your mind, Paul?
Boy, you talk about the illness, right? That's one of the things that's going on. There's so many great storylines. But for me, last night as I was going through the results and I was looking at Stefanos Tsitsipas losing another tough match, changing landscape. Dad's not around coaching right now. Mark Villapousis, who has done a great job previously, a terrific coach kind of in there. The new Paula Badosa relationship. Just a lot of moving parts for Stefanos. So I think he's at a stage in his career where it's time to just evaluate and then reevaluate. I don't think any big changes, but just something's going on that's not quite right with him.
Mm. Yeah, interesting with Tsitsipas. For me, the storyline was mom life.
Oh, Steve. Yeah.
You mentioned a couple of wins, a couple of moms on the comeback trail. Wozniacki, Townsend had the upsets yesterday, and then we've got three moms playing today. So, you know.
Mom power.
Let's hear it for the moms. Exactly. Yeah, they're doing all the work. They're doing
as
it.
As always.
We love the moms are the real MVPs. I mean, that's just how it goes. John, we had a big discussion yesterday about the WTA finals, when they would announce where they would be as well, and you've got an update for us.
Yeah, I mean, interestingly, the Czech Republic, Prague has issued a bid, and yesterday the Czech Republic reversed its policy, banning Russian and Belarusian nationals. So who knows? Correlation, causation, who knows? But that's a wrinkle, and as a result, perhaps we've heard that the vote on this, big vote, whether to go to Saudi Arabia, that has been pushed to next week. I was told by a board member it was supposed to have been decided yesterday, but now it looks like another week, so good that there's more discussion, but what this means, you talked about it yesterday, Chanda, what this means is that there's even less time. Exactly. Clock is ticking. So next week we should get an announcement.
Next, until you've got another update that it's...
Tomorrow, we'll see.
A week after that. But we will keep you updated here on TC Live, whatever we hear. John's been all over this story, absolutely doing a fantastic job. Chandy, you talk about the moms. Speaking of them, how about six-time U.S. Open champ Serena Williams? She put this out on Twitter yesterday. She says she's developed a new fragrance. It's called Old Spoiled Milk. What does that mean, Chanda?
You know, it's not easy being a mom either, Steve. You know, there's a lot that goes into it, especially the first few weeks. It can be a struggle. But Serena is fighting the good fight. This is the most healthy way to bring up your baby. And we love that she is giving her baby the nutrients that she needs. That's the most important thing. We got showers. We can make it happen. So keep the good fight going.
She's having fun with it. Just had her second child a couple weeks ago. So, you know, things going well in the land of Serena as she's joking about old spoiled milk. We move on to fresh new fashion. And some of the guys out there, they lost their sleeves, Paul. As you know, when the sun's out, the guns come out. So who's rocking this look the best?
I just think it's ironic that you guys are having me talk about this because, you know, under my jackets, oftentimes I come in sleeveless. So it fits very well with my whole persona. I'm leaning towards Big Ben Shelton.
Ooh,
I like the simplicity of the stuff. You know, these guys are all unbelievably physically gifted and look great and all of it. But I like the simplicity of Ben's attire.
Okay. Big Foe always rocks that well. And Alcaraz, he's been lifting.
Are you guys talking about, though?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you talking about the person or the shirt?
Or the attire.
That's right. Maybe I've got to confuse
who's rocking
here.
The outfit the best? Chanda.
Okay, who's
let the people know.
Okay, so we're talking about the outfit or the guns?
Exactly.
Well, you have to. I would say you need the guns to rock the outfit well. Like,
Don't make me
linguine arms, like it's not going to work.
So
right?
For me, the shirt for Alcaraz, the shirt that Alcaraz has is not the big win.
It's paintball.
It's a little weird.
Team.
I prefer probably the way Foe is rocking.
Yeah.
Really?
It's the better of the two for me.
Foe has the Francis has the logo of the Des Moines Aquarium. Carlos looks like he just played the Long Island paintball. I like the measured look in the middle, but I think it's a lot of time spent on total. I think you're right though. Francis was pulling it off. We questioned the aquarium look. But, anyway, shall we move on to tennis?
This is the OG, of the sleeveless look, Rafa Nadal.
He pulled it off.
And the capri pants.
Yeah, those pants. I don't know.
Yeah, the man can accessorize. We like the pirate pants. There were some actual tennis matches played at the U.S. Open.
Was there?
Maybe in the next segment we'll talk.
Big Prakash energy going on in New York City. Sun's out, guns out. Yes, we are going to talk tennis when we come back. We got Francis Tiafoe in action, Ben Shelton as well. All of those highlights on the way here on TC Live. We also talk about the teenage wasteland that was Arthur Ashe Stadium Wednesday. Coco Gauff, Mira Andreeva taking center stage. The youngest U.S. Open champ ever, our own Tracy Austin, joins us from New York. Her thoughts on the Open thus far. And it's Pride Day at the U.S. Open. We share a story on a group of tennis players who are getting their message out. Don't go anywhere.
TC Live at the U.S. Open is brought to you in part by Tennis Point, the official racket sports retailer of the ATP Tour.
People do ask, why do you have to have your own separate organization? When I first started playing tennis in local leagues, there would be comments, you hit like a oh, what a gay shot. People don't come out to that. We don't have that here. It's a place for our players to go that they feel very comfortable. We've created that on every corner of the globe.
Hello, my name is Rowan D'Souza. I'm the newly elected president and CEO of the Gay and Lesbian Tennis Alliance, also known as the GLTA. The Gay and Lesbian Tennis Alliance is an organisation that's made up of clubs from around the world that is tasked with providing opportunities for the LGBTQI plus community to play tennis in an environment that is safe and is welcoming and allows people to be themselves.
I'm Dan Merrithew, the former president of the Gay and Lesbian Tennis Alliance. When the GLTA first started, it was seven players on a public tennis court in San Francisco. And they came together because those seven players felt like it was a safe space for them, that they could be themselves.
My name is Tu Nguyen. I'm from Los Angeles, California. And I've been playing in the GLTA for, I think, about 7 years. For me, it's given me a whole new family. You know, as somebody who doesn't necessarily have the closest relationship to my own family growing up, it's been such a great way to meet new people, make new family.
So the GLTA has been going for over 30 years now. It started off with just a few clubs coming together in America. It's grown to be represented in every continent in the world, except Africa, at this stage.
My name is Merit Laukene. I have been 4 years on the board of the GLTA. I believe the biggest growth has been in the women's section. That was one of the reasons why I was invited to join the board, because I started to think about how could we engage more women. So this part has really grown.
My name's Christine Nielsen. I'm actually from the UK. I've been a member, I'd say like 15 years. I think it's provided a space where I can play tennis, the sport I love, in an environment of total freedom and meet people from all over the world.
Look, I think it's hard to quantify how many players we have in our reach. 20,000 who have GLTA memberships at 80 tournaments. That's like 8,000 participants a year. People of all abilities from all backgrounds.
Before we keep going with the interview, I hear you have a little bit of a reveal you want to show us?
Yes. The top is the Venus Williams 1997 U.S. Open. The bottom is the Serena Williams 2018 2-2. So I'm combining both legends into one. I want to show that it's okay. Clothings are just clothings, and it's what's inside that counts.
One thing that does happen with LGBTIQ people in many aspects of life is that we are subconsciously or unknowingly excluded. All we're doing is creating an opportunity for people to have an entry point. It's not an exclusionary thing, and I think some people think that. So allies are absolutely welcome.
The GLTA is about acceptance. GLTA is about family. I know I get emotional because I've been with GLTA for more than half of my life, so I think it's amazing that I have this family, you know, for the last 30 years to accept exactly for who I am and making new family members around the world.
We love David. Today is Pride Day at the U.S. Open, the third annual celebration of the LGBTQ plus community to spread a core message of inclusion. The Open Pride Brunch is back, as well as a Standing for Family, Love, and Equality fireside chat with panelists, including former professional soccer player and my friend Joanna Lohman. Well, a reminder to download the U.S. Open app to find your favorite players, track the latest scores, stats, match highlights, player news, and more. It is available in the App Store and the Google Play Store. We'll be back with the biggest highlights of Day 3 when we return. John, Paul, and Steve back on TC Live, leading up to first ball on day 4 in New York City. Back to the highlights from yesterday. Top seed, returning champ Iga Swiatek facing Daria Saviljohn. The Aussie said her goal was not to get double bageled, and she took care of that in the first game.
Yeah, the bakery was closed yesterday. This has sort of some 2022 Iga vibes, where she wasn't necessarily at her best, but she was when it mattered most. Their set point 6-3. Savil played a very nice match, sort of a good competitor, hung in the rallies. One thing she did not do well, second serves 1 of 18. Hard to beat the number one player in the world.
and the defending champ when you win one second serve point the entire day. Otherwise, a very tight match. Iga had to dig, and you see by this scoreline here, Saville right in this match, but Iga with that whipping forehand came up with the goods when she had to. 23 winners on the day, including that one. She advances, but it was not easy.
We'll take on her best friend on tour, Kaya Yuvan, next round. Still on a quarterfinal collision course, though, with Coco Gauff, who needed to get past 16-year-old Mira Andreeva. Chanda, rematch from Roland Garros.
And this one had a little less fanfare because of how well Gauff came out playing. Andreeva got the early break, but Gauff would win four games in a row. Had to go up 4-1 in the first set and was just aggressive. Whenever she had opportunities inside the court, she would have 24 winners over the course of the match. And she was going after her shots, both forehands and backhands, up at the net, 15 of 18 points won. That's the type of comprehensive tennis Gauff can play, and she did it beautifully against Andreeva, not really giving her a chance in this match.
Coco has now won seven straight matches and talked about some inspiration from another men's player afterwards.
I think I've learned the most is how they're able to handle the situations when they're not playing their best tennis. For example, Carlos in Cincinnati, he was losing a set every match pretty much. But I don't know, the way that he was still smiling. And I was like, okay, I need, like, if he can smile and he's number one in the world and he has all this pressure, he's supposed to beat Hubie, I guess, on paper, then I can do it in situations maybe where I'm most of the time now I'm not the underdog, but against, for example, like Ego or Sabalenka, those where I'm considered the underdog on paper, I can smile too. So I think I learned the most about their joy in matches and how I can transfer that, because I have a lot of joy in me, but I just seen the ball loaded up when I play, and now I'm really just having fun and laughing and smiling, and I think it's making tennis more enjoyable.
Plenty of reason to smile for Coco Gauff through a couple of matches. How cool is that? As she looks at what Carlos is doing, they're right around the same age, like, ah. He can have joy out there even when he's not winning. So can I.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most challenging things for a young, great player, especially someone that strives for perfection. Mm. You know, you see young, great players with so much weight on their shoulders, and Coco Gauff's one of the best competitors I've ever seen. So she holds herself to such a high standard. I think part of the evolution, and the biggest part, is the mental part, the ability to accept imperfection, the ability to deal with the average days and get through. And now she's found a new key, it sounds like, for her to do that, which is to try to stay happy and optimistic and not kind of rake herself over the coals in those moments. And if that key is, in fact, a key, look out rest of the WTA.
Yeah, exactly. Do you guys remember Danny Almonte, the little league player who was he was just like 27 years old? I feel that way sometimes with Coco Gauff, not physically, but she is so wise. She speaks with substance. There's a smile, there's a likability, but there's real wisdom and real sort of self-measured and thoughtfulness in what she says. And yesterday it looked like two different generations. A couple we joked about sort of teenage wasteland and two teenagers. It looked like a veteran against a rookie. And I just find Coco so impressive when she plays and the way she's measured and she resets. She plays like an adult, but she notices things. She's very observant. I'm just absolutely dazzled by her. And the fact that she's 19 doesn't quite add up.
Yeah, I would say exactly the same thing in terms of her awareness. That's so impressive to me. In the thick of her career, you can see how much she wants, you know, to succeed and excel and win these big events. But she's also looking around. She's seeing, you know, what other players are doing, especially the best in the world, and trying to learn from it. I think that's incredibly important because she's still young. She's still learning. She's still growing in terms of her career. I think embracing that aspect is only going to elevate her game. And the fact that, you know, she understands you got to relax and find some joy out there, mm-hmm. even in tough moments. It's just a tennis match. And at the end of the day, you may win, you may lose, but life goes on and you keep building, you keep growing. And I just love to see that about her right now.
She's giving everybody else a whole lot of joy. Well, she played doubles yesterday with Jesse Pegula, hit a winner on a return, thought the match was over. It wasn't. They needed another game.
And laughed about it.
Yeah. Gronk was there. They're having a great time. It's a lot of smiles for Coco Gauff. Meantime, on the men's side, Novak Djokovic in action. It's hard to say. Novak Djokovic flying under the radar, but I mean, listen, this is the only major where he's never lost before the third round. He's not our first highlight of the day. Looking to get to 33-0, Paul.
Yeah, and look, Novak, I'm not sure it's possible for him to fly under the radar, but the expectations are so great. And when he continues to show magic like this, that topspin lob landing on the baseline, controlling rallies, Zapata Morales played a really nice first set, really did as well as he could to stay in rallies and try to use his big ground strokes. But look at that shot, just the ability to redirect and the comfort on the hard courts. And to me, that is the biggest question every player is going to have to ask himself against Novak. How am I going to make him uncomfortable enough 3 out of 5 sets? And very few people can answer it, especially when he plays like he did these last 2 sets. A couple of breadsticks and just really awesome buttoned-up tennis. Every time I watch him, just continue to clap and enjoy it.
Clinical, routine, 40th win of the year. He's dropped just 11 games in his first 2 matches. I mentioned this earlier. There's some sickness going around the tournament. Jimmy Arias said Dominic Thiem actually threw up before his match with Ben Shelton Shanda, and the first set was still very competitive.
Yeah, it was tight. And, you know, Thiem, he's finding some form this year. It's unfortunate he couldn't quite feel his best from start to finish in this match. But Shelton coming up with the goods when he needed it. Under some pressure, started the tiebreak, and he hits the perfect shot at the perfect moment. But Dominic Thiem, after going off court the end of that first set, tried to make a go of it, but just could not sustain. And that's a miserable feeling when you are feeling that sick in the middle of a match, a tight match, and he just couldn't continue. So unfortunate for Dominic Thiem. Hopefully he can continue to build on this year, the matches he's won, but a nice win going through for Ben Shelton.
Yeah, Shelton, third round of a major for the second time, and hope you feel better, Dommy. Taylor Fritz match. Well, this was on TV in the Paul Anacone household last night with Grey Goose Honey Deuces flowing. Fritz's game was flowing on court, Paul.
He was. He was just started off with a lot of power tennis, guys. And look, when Taylor's locked in and gets a lead like this and is able to start swinging freely with his power from the back of the court, it is really, truly impressive. And this is a tough matchup because, again, this is a match he's supposed to win. And Taylor puts a lot of pressure on himself. I talked about it with Coco. Same with this young man right here. He expects a ton. But Michael Russell doing such a great job sprinkling that gold dust around to try to make sure he maintains composure, clarity about how he wants to play. And other than his 69 mile an hour second serve, I was pretty impressed with what he did yesterday.
We said Novak Djokovic has only lost 11 games through 2 matches. How about Taylor Fritz, who could play him in the quarterfinals? He's only lost 10 games in 2 matches. This is a guy who won't have to face another seeded player until the last 8. Great chance to make his deepest run in New York. When we come back, it was the first meeting of former major champs at this year's U.S. Open. Caroline Wozniacki and Petra Kvitova renewing their rivalry. Next on TC Live. Beautiful day in New York City. Ruben Anacone, Wertham Weisman back on TC Live at the U.S. Open. Highlights continue. American Francis Tiafoe, Paul, looking to make the third round for the 4th straight year in New York. No trouble with Sebastian Offner.
Yeah, just a really buttoned-up performance. Look at Francis here opening the court up again with the shot awareness. Closes to finish. He just seems so locked in. Look, we're talking only about 2 rounds so far, but he has looked dialed in. Looks like he's very clear about what he's trying to do. And, gang, we know he loves playing in the Big Apple. So the energy's going to be there. The positivity's going to be there. And yesterday, just a lot of impressive stuff. Really just knocked Offner off his box and able to really impose offensive tennis throughout the match. Look at him come forward again. Beautiful feel. Just thrives on all the positive vibes from the fan. It is going to be a fun couple weeks, I think, for Francis Tiafoe here. Just too much firepower and really good shot selection in 3 straight sets. That's a huge sign for Francis.
21 winners said, I feel so comfortable on this court. Looking very comfy as well. Back into round 3 is Big Foe. Meantime, Tommy Paul lost to Roman Safiulin 9 years ago in the U.S. Open Juniors. John, he has been waiting for his revenge, and he did it in epic comeback fashion.
Yeah, it looked like it wasn't going to happen for the first 90 minutes or so. Paul's sort of flat as a tennis court, but then he snapped back. But Safiulin, nice player, Wimbledon quarters just last month. Tommy Paul, though, this guy reached the semis of the last hardcourt major. He's in the top 15, and he really turned this match right here in the 3rd set. You saw he got the early break, and from there, totally different match.
his margin stays. You see the athleticism he could bring to bear. He ended up with 10 aces, 43 winners. A very strange match, just in the sense that if this were best of three, he would be a very disappointed man, but turns it around in the third and then rolled home after that. Expect to see him on a bigger court from here on out, but nice win for Tommy Paul. Took more than 3 hours, and again, took him a while to get going, but when he did, he rolled home. Revenge.
Paul Anacone called it. He said after he lost that second set, he's not losing. He's not losing. First ever comeback from two down. Caroline Wozniacki with an homage to her good friend Serena, rocking the cat suit against Petra Kvitova, and she showed out like a lion on court, Chanda.
Yeah, especially in the teeth of the match crunch times, we saw the quickness of Wozniacki on display. That was always a staple of her game. She was able to take that first set 7-5. And here, with a match point, she'd have a couple of them, but Kvitova, top 20 player now, right outside the world's top 10. She would not go down easily. This would go to a tie break. And credit to Wozniacki for just staying calm and relaxed. Kvitova there with the double. A lot of pressure, and she was feeling it. And in the end, Wozniacki gets a huge upset. Real validation match.
First top 20 win in 5 years when she also beat Kvitova. That was at the WTA Finals. 40th win at the U.S. Open. Go, Caro.
Here in our garage stadium night session, playing in front of a packed crowd. I mean, this couldn't be better. It's a dream come true. And if you'd asked me 3 years ago, if you'd asked me 3 years ago, I would have said I'll never be back here playing on this court. But to be back and to beat the world number 11 feels very, very special. So thank you, everyone, for coming out tonight and supporting me. It really means so much to me.
Awesome. Awesome to see. What did Caro prove to you with that win last night, Paul?
Look, I just think she's an amazing human being, an incredible athlete. And we've seen it, you know, firsthand with her professionalism on camera, what she does here with us. She's always prepared. She loves the game. She knows the game. And for a while, since she's been watching it, I think it's been rekindling that fire. I think she's like, okay, I've got my kids. I've got my family. I feel good. I'm playing a lot of tennis. Let's give it a shot. And last night, she showed us why she's giving it a shot. She's still a heck of a player.
You can stay in shape, you can still hit a nice ball, but you can't replicate playing a night match at the U.S. Open against a former major champion. So I think that really proved a lot. A little bit of a hot take. Is this Caro 2.0? I mean, it's like Svitolina. Are we seeing a little more aggression post-maternity? Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, mom's life, we talked about it at the top of the show. You know, you get a different kind of attitude. And I think, you know, there's a lot more focus we're seeing with players who are on the comeback trail, who have kind of settled into this next phase of their life with families, with kids. But they realize I still have goals. I still have things I want to do that I feel I can do out there. And there's some power in kind of taking that back personally. And I think for Wozniacki, we're seeing partly that mindset. But also, maybe the fact that she played Legends in Paris, she was like, nah, I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for this. Let's get some back on the tour and see what I can do there. But she's just been terrific. Only her third tournament back, and she gets a big win like this. She's fit. She looks healthy, happy. I mean, that's a great combination.
Yeah, she gets Jenny Brady Jenny next. Brady. Looking forward to that matchup. Couple of Tennis Channel commentators going head-to-head. Let's break down some matches going on today. We got big John Isner, who is back again against fellow American Michael Moe. The last dance for John Isner. Does it continue? How do you see this one go, Paul?
It's on John Isner's racket, as it tends to be with most matches. For Michael Moe, it's very simple. How many returns can you get in play, and how athletic can you make the points? If you can do that over a long 3-5 set match, he's got a good shot. If John hits targets on serves, plays offensive tennis returning, it's just what he does.
I think definitely for Mo, he's got to take care of his own service games, and that can be tricky against a guy like Isner, who can hold so easily, who can take the racket out of your hand, got to get it to a tie break if he can. Obviously, you look for chances to break serve, but the main thing is to take care of things on your side of the court. I think Mo can do that, but that's going to be a big challenge.
Big opportunity for Michael Moe, as well as for John. But, you know, in the middle of his career, Michael Moe's had a sort of a sneaky good year and has had a lot of nice wins over top players. Here he is arriving for a big day, chance at the
That's Arthur.
Third round.
Arthur Fils coming in.
But Michael Moe, he's beaten
five top 20 players this year. So chance for a nice signature win for Michael Moe.
It certainly is. For John Isner, he would be the oldest American man to reach the third round at the U.S. Open since Jimmy Connors when he made that semifinal push. So also playing doubles with Jack Sock. Looking forward to that.
Is he playing mixed, too?
John's not playing mixed.
Not playing mixed?
No.
Okay.
Jack is.
Jack's playing mixed?
Yeah.
With Coco. Oh, Coco, right?
Yeah. Of course.
If you're going to go out big.
Yeah.
Maximize your chances of winning.
Last American to win a major singles title, we've talked about Sofia Kenin. She's got Daria Kazatkina. Who do you give the edge to in this one?
You know, I think Kazatkina, she's been tough. I believe Kazatkina won the last time they played. I certainly think she has the edge. But Kenin, she's so dangerous. And when she can catch fire, obviously a major champion, she's got, you know, some of that belief that's still there. And it can turn within one match or you know, within a situation on court. I think, you know, that's going to be the key is can she have the confidence to go after her shots, to use the backhand, to open up the court, not let Kazatkina dictate and control the tempo and the pacing. That's not going to be easy to do, but she's got a good shot, Kenin, and hopefully she can play well.
Who's the last player to beat Coco Gauff at a major? It's Kenin. I mean, it's been such a strange 3 years. She won a major. She got to the final of another major. She's also dropped way into the triple digits in her ranking. But this is an opportunity. Kazatkina is a nice player to watch. She's fun to you know, as entertainment value. She's not someone who's going to blast Kenin off the court. So I think this could be a real battle.
I'm really looking forward to the matchup between Andy Murray and Grigor Dimitrov. Dimitrov had a heck of a comeback in his first-round match, and Andy Murray's Andy Murray. I mean, how do you see this one going, Paul?
Yeah, look, Grigor Dimitrov, still one of the best athletes on tour, has so many weapons to hurt everybody, and Andy Murray does what Grigor doesn't like to do, which is return your second serve unbelievably effectively. So this is going to be a great chess match. I look for the balance on offense for Andy to see if he can get really aggressive and try to dictate play. And for Grigor, I want to see if he tries to find his way into the net. Is going to be athletic. And it's going to be entertaining. Two great competitors. You bring the popcorn.
Yeah.
And I'll
bring the honey deuces.
I'll bring the honey deuces.
Okay.
All right.
12th time they are meeting. Not a lot of secrets here. And if it weren't only the head-to-head, Andy 8-3. If it weren't only the head-to-head, two members that used to work with Murray now working with Grigor Dimitrov. So these two know each other well.
Murray going for his 50th win at the U.S. Open. There's always something with Andy Murray.
Numbers, know, man. It's a numbers game.
Pushing those numbers. Got his 200th Grand Slam win, the last one. So now 50th U.S. Open. Pretty good stuff.
Good division.
Yep. Right?
50.
A quarter of them at each one-ish.
Exactly.
All right, we're live inside the gym. And look at us in the middle TV. That's Chanda Rubin.
Wow.
Everybody's watching you, Chanda.
Actually watching tennis.
Wait to teach telephone.
It's the only pregame show for the U.S. Open. Players know that.
What else would they be watching?
More TC Live after a quick break. You can find us every morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, leading up to live coverage on ESPN at noon Eastern. Don't go anywhere.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back on TC Live, Taylor Fritz and Francis Tiafoe leading Team World against Stefano Tsitsipas, Casper Ruud, and Team Europe in Vancouver, Canada for the 2023 Laver Cup. Do not miss Tennis Channel's exclusive live coverage of the three-day event. It begins Friday, September 22nd. Well, we are leading you up to first ball in New York City, and USOpen.org is your online home for point-by-point live scoring, highlights, real-time stats, and draws. Visit the official tournament site at usopen.org today. Steve Weissman back in our studios, and in the NFL, it's called Scoregami. a final score that has never happened before in history. Well, we had the tennis version yesterday. Martina Trevisan became the first woman in the Open era to win a major singles match with the score line of love 6, 7-6, 7-6. Amazing. For a look at today's forecast, here's Fox Weather.
Hi, Fox Weather's Jay Menard. Here's today's U.S. Open forecast. Our pros can expect partly cloudy skies, temperatures in the mid-70s. You can stream Fox Weather at your favorite connected TV device like Samsung Plus TV, channel 1010. Always on, always free.
All right, thank you, Jane. When we come back, it's our own Tracy Austin joining us from New York, where she's been hard at work. She'll break down all the action at the U.S. Open. Don't go anywhere. On day four at the U.S. Open, TC Live leading you up to first ball as always. Featured matches on Arthur Ashe Stadium, Andy Murray and Grigor Dimitrov meeting for the first time in nearly 7 years, followed by former finalist Madison Keys. The night session has returning men's champ Carlos Alcaraz up first, setting the stage for top-ranked American Jesse Pegula. Then over on Louis Armstrong, it is an all-Italian battle up first between Jannik Sinner and Lorenzo Sonego, followed by two-seed Aryna Sabalenka, and the sixth meeting between Alina Svitolina and Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova. In the night session, it's Cannon and Kazatkina, followed by the men's two-seed, Daniil Medvedev. Time now to welcome in our friend, Hall of Famer, two-time U.S. Open champion, Tracy Austin. Good morning, Trace. Great to see you.
Good morning, guys. I'm coming to you from Forest Hills, where they played the U.S. Open until 1977 was the last year. And this is the Bud Collins Library. It seems perfect to come to you from Bud's house.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. A lot of memorabilia there behind you with all those rackets and books and stuff like that. So day four of the U.S. Open, that's where we're at, Trace. Well, what's been the biggest storyline so far for you?
Well, I think Caroline Wozniacki winning that match last night against Kvitova. She had only won one match in two tournaments coming in. I actually covered her first match up in Montreal when she came back after 3.5 years and two children. It's just an amazing story. But to beat Petra Kvitova, who I believe is 11 in the world and playing well this year on the big stage in a tight two setter, that's the tough part is you can hit, you can practice all day. I saw her practicing a lot of hours out in Cincinnati. But to play those big moments well after being gone for so long is absolutely incredible.
It's been so much fun to watch her. And look, that was an amazing win to beat Kvitova last night. I'm sure so much emotion coming out. We can see it in the face there. And obviously now she gets to share it with her children and her family. And speaking about children, I wanted to ask you about your take on Andreeva, and the match yesterday, obviously with Coco. We've talked about Coco for so much, but Andreeva, 16 years of age, does it stir up memories for you?
Absolutely, Paul. You know, it's funny because Coco's still 19. She's so young. She's having the best summer of her life. But she rarely has to play against somebody that's younger than her. And we know that they played at Roland Garros. It was a tight three-setter, Coco losing that first set and coming back to win pretty handily. But there's always that little extra pressure when you're playing somebody younger. When I was 16 here playing at the Open, I was one of the favorites, but I came in having to play against Andrea Jaeger in the first round or two, who was 14. That was a lot of pressure. Fellow American, there's always that extra spice to it, but then playing against somebody younger. So I thought Coco handled it beautifully. Coco, that first match in the first round, that night session, playing with the Obamas in the house, Maria Sharapova was back in town, and Lindsey Vonn. It was a big night. There's always that extra electricity, a night match at the U.S. Open, and so much talk about Coco possibly being a favorite, you know, in the conversation, but also can she win it because she's been playing so well. She played tight against Sigemann, but yesterday she was too strong, served well, big forehand, which we normally don't say. We usually say just big backhand. So Coco's looking really good and back on track after that first round.
Yeah, it's amazing, right, watching two youngsters go at it. And that's such a key point for me, seeing Coco have to play a younger player where she's supposed to win, little different kind of pressure. But we've been talking about Coco for so long. What's the next hurdle for her about winning this major, the elusive major? We saw her get to the finals at Roland Garros. For her right now, Tracy, in her mind, in your experience at this age, is it more mental or physical right now for Coco to capture a major title?
Well, I think it's more tactical. I really think that she's changed up a couple of things. I talked to Brad a couple of days ago here. We were doing something at Forest Hills, and he said that he's never mentioned the outright forehand and worked on the forehand. He wants her to get a little bit more shape, but overall, it's about being more aggressive-minded. Coco used to slide or serve in 110, 112, maybe 115. He said, I want you to go big, particularly when she beat Iga in the semifinals. I want 118, 120, 122, because I don't want Iga to break your serve as many times as she had in the past when Coco was 0-7, 0-14 in sets. So I think that was, if there's one turning point in Coco's career, it might be that Świątek match in Cincinnati where she saved a set point in the first set. But she was just bigger. When she starts bigger with that serve, and then on the return, he wants her to move back a little bit so she has more time to get that return back in play, then get up, hug the baseline, and just go after her shots and really play with freedom. And that has changed. I think just having that little bit of clarity about how she wants to specifically play out there has been different. And then Coco says that she's gotten this perspective when she sees the 30-year-olds out there and realizes, at 19, I've got a lot of years. Don't put so much pressure on myself. Go out, enjoy. And I think that Coco, you know, 13-1 this summer, winning two of the biggest tournaments in her career, just taking these matches. She's so strong. She's so physical, but playing smarter matches as well. It's really exciting. Paul, I think she can, and Steve, I think she can win this year's U.S. Open.
Well, think she can win this year's U.S. Open, coming from the two-time U.S. Open champ, Tracy Austin. We'll see if they make it to the quarterfinals. Coco Gauff, Iga Świątek, once again. You talked about Caroline Wozniacki earlier. 5 of the 10 mothers in the draw are still alive, Tracy. Wozniacki's one of them, but also Alina Svitolina, also Taylor Townsend. Are you surprised, especially with Svitolina, Wozniacki, that they have found their form so quickly? I mean, Svitolina only came back in Charleston. She's already back to 25 in the world in the live rankings.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. That is such an incredible story because I think you add in being from Ukraine. And I think that actually might have helped. It's an added element. Already has this great family life, happy with Gail, happy with her child, Sky, who she delivered last October. It kind of takes a little bit of pressure of all your eggs in one basket just for the tennis. But then we saw quarters at Roland Garros, semis at Wimbledon. And riding that wave at Wimbledon, we felt like playing for Ukraine, playing for something bigger than yourself. She's playing with more freedom. She's hitting her ground strokes, driving through those forehands. She was always a great counterpuncher, moves extremely well, but it's just really exciting to see her come back and play, as I said, for Ukraine, for her family, and just being so aggressive. And then Taylor yesterday, how about her celebration? I was going from sweet to sweet, but I did manage to see how excited she was. And why not? She's had so much success in doubles, but that's a big win to beat Haddad Maia in singles. So great job for Tay-Tay.
Yeah, it's great to see her play so well. Tracy, I wanted to ask you about your career. We're just talking about Caroline and all the mothers. As you go through your career, there's a lot of different kinds of adversity that you deal with. You had to deal with injury. You also have to deal with changes. And a lot of these women now are mothers. What to you stands out in your career that kind of helped you deal with the different evolutions of your life to sustain some consistency at the top of the game?
Yeah, I think that's so important, Paul. You know, we know as athletes that there's only one winner each week. And so it's really about managing your losses, managing your injuries, managing the difficult times. And I think if you can gain some perspective like Coco has, obviously, at such a young age, that I loved how Sharapova oftentimes when she would lose, she would go into a press conference and say, yeah, I lost today, but guess what? Next week, 2 weeks from now, it's another opportunity. So that's a great way to take the pressure off, try to think long term, because sometimes you kind of squeeze yourself as an athlete. We pressure self, self-pressure that we put on ourselves. So if we can have that great foundation first, and then I think it's the people that are around you that are reminding you of these moments of how you can build, how you can adapt, and that everybody has to go through these difficult times, and it's how well you adapt in those moments. I think that's really, really important.
With Mira Andreeva losing, by the way, Tracy's record is the youngest champ of the U.S. Open. It is safe for another year. I don't know who's going to come up. But always a pleasure to catch up with you, Tracy. Enjoy the rest of the tournament.
Love it. Great to talk to you guys.
Love you, Tracy. See you soon. All right, stay connected to the U.S. Open on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Join the conversation with hashtag U.S. Open. More TC Live after this. Back on TC Live, a reminder, the Tennis Shop, powered by Tennis Point, is the new online store featuring the latest apparel and equipment. Scan that QR code right there on your screen or visit TennisShop.com today to search a wide selection of brands and get the same gear as all your favorite pros. Speaking of your favorite pros, how about Aryna Sabalenka coming on site? Had 27 winners in her first round win. Now has 596 at the majors this year, the most of any women's singles player. It's Jody Burridge later today. Smile for the camera, Aryna. We see you. Highlights from yesterday. Newest member of the top 10, Chanda, Karolina Muchova, continuing to rise. No issues with Magdalena Frank.
Muchova is another player under the radar, considering she is the Roland Garros finalist. Maybe we should be talking about her a little more, especially with this kind of net play, the hands, the volleying came in plenty of times during this match. Just control the rhythm and the pacing throughout. Freck, though, she got a little inspiration trying to get in on her side of the court. But Muchova just so good in this department. And also from the ground, creating these openings, being able to hit through the court, that's been a big part of the Muchova arsenal. And she used it beautifully to get through 3-3.
Never faced a break point all day. Won 80% of her first serve points. She is moving on to the next round. The upset of the day, Paul Stefano Tsitsipas facing Dominic Stricker. The Greek star has never made the second week in New York. Stricker, he'd never had a top 10 win. One of those facts no longer true.
Just a lot of talent in that left arm of Dominic Stricker. I'll tell you what, Stricker wins the first set 7-5. Then what happened for the next kind of 2 hours or so was a little head-scratching because I was like, oh, he had a nice match. He gets into the second set tiebreak. Tsitsipas imposes his will, comes forward here, started applying a little bit more pressure, and Tsitsipas goes on to win the second set. But then in the third set, Stricker stays close. And I was like, if he can win this one, he's going to give himself a good shot. But again, Tsitsipas in the big moments comes through in the tiebreak, and this is where I thought it would be over. But he didn't go away after he had 2-1 and plays a terrific fourth set tiebreak after having to return to stay in the match. Remember, Tsitsipas up 5-3 in that fourth set. Tsitsipas loses the fourth. Stricker early break in the fifth, fends off 2 break points the last game. And for the young Swiss player, boy, that was a heck of an effort over a lengthy, grueling match.
The upsets continue, John. Last year's finalist, Casper Ruud, having trouble with Zhang Zhizhen.
Yeah, strange match. Keep an eye on the score bug here. Zhang's a nice player. He's had some good wins, beaten Taylor Fritz, among others, this year. Here we go to a fourth set, and we say, okay, well, Casper Ruud, he reached the finals last year, reached the French finals about 90 days ago. Okay, he'll fight and win this match. 6-love in the fourth, and then Zhang comes right back. He had 18 aces. This is a nice player with a lot of variety to his game, winning points at the net, 60 winners on the day overall, held up physically in a long match. Very impressed by Zhang. I'm not sure how much Casper, look at this. This is a nice way to close out a match. I'm not sure what we make of this performance by Ruud. You expected a bit more, but that is a nice win from a nice player.
Triple Z, first Chinese man to get a top 5 victory. We say farewell to Casper Ruud. Taylor Townsend batting cleanup in our Americans in Action segment as she is one win away from re-entering the top 100. That's right, Tay-Tay, we see you. We'll preview both halves of Gems Life, who play today for spots in the third round.
and a warm and fuzzy visit with the highest-ranked American in all the land, Jesse Pegula. Talking, I think, Gators, maybe? Back on TC Live, the Sheltons in the house. Benny on the left, his dad Brian on the other side. Playing some doubles today with Chris Eubanks. He's also playing mixed with Taylor Townsend, still in singles as well. How about another American? Madison Keys has won her last seven second-round matches at the U.S. Open, looking to continue that streak today in Queens. All right, the Americans in action. And we've got a lot of them on day four. Look at all those American flags. How about Sasha Vickery, Chanda, taking on Brit Minnan?
This is a terrific opportunity for Sasha Vickery, trying to get to the third round of a major for the first time in her career. Came through qualifying and has had to battle, had the upset over Donna Vekic. So hopefully she can have a good match as well.
Yeah, I'd love to see that from Sasha. Peyton Stearns we saw there as well, former Texas star. Doing well.
Already to top 50, right? Yeah. Top 50. And you saw Alex Mickelson, big opportunity against a seed as well. Yeah, a lot of Americans on the board today.
Look at John Isner. I'm really just intrigued by the matchup. Just youth versus the experience. And John was so choked up the other day, you know, playing a singles match. I just hope he can free up and have a big tournament. And Michael Moe, we've talked about it. He's coming into his own now, starting to have a nice year, starting to believe in his game. So good opportunity for both those guys.
So many of those Americans played college tennis. As we get the recap from yesterday, ooh, Battle of College Stars, Mackie McDonald, UCLA, Borna Gojo, Wake Forest, John.
And a lot of contrast in this match. Bit of a surprising match, I thought. I mean, Mackie was not that far away from being seeded. Had a very nice time, beating Rublev, beating Taylor Fritz, beating Holger Rune as well. But Mackie's good vibes ended yesterday against Gojo, the Croatian big server, 25 years old, had to qualify. So he played a lot of tennis just to get here, and really one-way traffic. Just too much power on the Gojo side of the net. On the Wake side, he's some college tennis vibes, but straight set loss for Mackie. Gojo advances.
Got the mojo going. First time he's into the third round of a major. Another former college tennis star, Chris Eubanks, facing French wildcard Benjamin Bonzi. The American was not feeling his best, Paul.
Yeah, this was a tough one. Bang said he hasn't been feeling great since Sunday. He's been struggling a little bit with that stomach bug that everyone has seemed to have. And Bonzi did a nice job winning the first set. Good effort from Banks to turn things around in the second, using that power game, trusting it, going with big power tennis. And I felt like the third was going to be pivotal for Banks to see if he could get out in front and keep the confidence going. A little misjudgment there. That was a high forehand volley. And Bonzi jumps out with that 6-2 third set. They get into the tiebreak. Banks tweaked his hip, too. So had a little bit of the double whammy going. But he's had such a terrific year so far. Really new landscape for him, being seated at the Open, feeling comfortable at the top of the game. So this is a tough loss for him. Never want to lose, especially at your home major. But so many good things for Banks this year and more to come.
Well, we'll keep the college tennis theme going. One of Stella Sampras' former stars in Westwood, Jen Brady. The comeback continues, Chad. It had the crowd on its feet against Magda Linette.
I mean, big forehands like that. The power game of Brady was on full display. And it was the type of tennis she needed against a very solid player in Magda Linette, who won the second set. But in the third, Brady getting the break and then showing some inspired stuff. The backhand slice up the line, asking for a little love from the crowd. Come on, give it to me. And they did. And Brady in the end closing it out in terrific fashion. Big win for her, back after a couple of years off tour and back in a big way.
Flex seal. She's got it locked down, Jen Brady. Good stuff. She'll play Caroline Wozniacki next. Taylor Townsend at a career high in doubles, but do not sleep on her singles game, looking for her second top 20 win of the year against Beatrice Haddad Maia.
She's got so much variety, Townsend, and she's gaining the confidence again on the singles court, and it's been a terrific combination. This shot from Haddad Maia, though, maybe a little mistake. It looked like it was going out. Townsend made her play it and took advantage in that first set tiebreak, and that was a huge step forward for Townsend to get the first set tucked away. But here in the second, Haddad Maia looked like she was going to make some moves. Look how quickly Taylor Townsend got up to that ball. She was anticipating. The intensity was there. And she needed every bit of it to get this upset win, but gets it done after a little adversity. And you could see she's feeling it.
Tay-Tay is so pumped into the third round of the U.S. Open. We are here for it. I'm going to hug your coach, John. Let's hear from Tay-Tay after.
Yeah, I've worked really hard to be in the place where I am today and be sitting in front of you guys. So, you know, I never take a day for granted. And, you know, I felt great going into the doubles. I was more mentally tired than anything just from the emotions of the match, from the singles. But, you know, overall, these are the times. And a day like this, I would be proud to share with my son and say, look, like, you put in the work and you reap the rewards. Sometimes you don't know when that's going to happen, but, you know, just keep working and it'll happen eventually.
We know Aiden's proud of Mama as well. She also said, my doubles ranking is higher than my singles, but not for long.
I like it. I like it.
Love that confidence.
Yeah, so much talent. All right, Jenna, anyone on the tour have better hand talent than Taylor Townsend?
I can't think of one. I mean, we saw Muhova, and she's pretty close in terms of talent at the net with the hands, the feel. But Taylor Townsend, she's special in a different way.
Amazing.
I mean, it's incredible the shots that can come off her racket before you even have I wouldn't even think of a shot that she can hit sometimes, and it's already off her racket.
You mentioned Muhova. Who does Taylor Townsend play next? That'll be a fun
match. That's some talent right there.
27 points won at the net. And she said also in press, she said, look, I don't even consider myself a doubles player. I'm a tennis player. Sometimes it's doubles, sometimes it's singles, but she is so fun to watch, so much variety, and for all she's been through, and she's a mother, she's still in her mid-20s,
yeah,
so
right?
plenty of upside there. It was a great, great win yesterday and a really big opportunity against the finalists at the French Open.
And if she wins that match, back into the top 100 in
there
singles.
You
so
you know, just real quick, she got in, remember she beat Simona Halep, great match at the U.S.
Yes.
Open. She got into this draw this year when Simona Halep pulled.
That's right.
Bringing
symmetry.
It full circle.
Symmetry.
We have John's stat of the day, and that's not even it, coming up later in the show. I mean, more brilliance from Wertheim. Plus, we'll break down all the big matches today. Paul's got your hot shot of the day. It may end up being the best of the best for the entire tournament. See what you think. We'll be right back. Welcome back. There is Clervy Gunaway coming on site, your 18 Nationals champ, and also pulled off a huge upset in doubles yesterday with Robin Montgomery. They took out the 7 seeds. Some hot shots in that match, and how about your hot shot of the day, Adrian Mannarino, Paul, acting like he's Gael Monfils.
I mean, look at the athleticism right here. A jump face-forwarding tweener, and then Anderson's error right here, though, Steve. Error right there. That's an unforced error. All the high fives he could have had along the way.
You can't leave those fans hanging.
No way. Not in New York, especially. Look at that play. That is unbelievable. But let me ask you, is there any chance Big Foe wouldn't have gotten all these high fives all along the way?
He's doing that. He's getting some popcorn.
Yeah.
Maybe a little soda.
We can't
whatever.
Take away from the shot, though.
No. Awesome. I mean, that's a shot of the tournament so far.
Awesome shot.
You think that holds up for the rest of the 2 weeks?
I'm going to go with no. I think we're going to come up with a couple more spectacular ones, and we'll cover them right here.
We will. The Mannarino, the myth, the legend. By the way, he plays Francis Tiafoe next, so could be some more hot shots in that one. Time now, as always, for our warm and fuzzy segment, Jesse Pegula with Michael Costa.
This will probably make you feel happy. Better. I don't know. Will it?
It's an alligator.
It's an alligator. Does that evoke anything?
Grew up, honestly, with a lot of alligators in my backyard.
Well, that's
childhood memories.
That's a unique sentence I don't hear all the time.
Yeah, I did. In Hilton Head, South Carolina, we had alligators all the time on our back, literally like for me to like do sometimes.
Is that why your footwork is so good? Because you were in the back like...
Yeah, maybe. Like trying to dodge alligators.
You can see all of Michael Costa's great work on these warm and fuzzy segments at tennischannel.com. And coming up next, we get you ready for day 4 with all the big highlights and match previews. Keep it close. John, Paul, and Steve back on TC Live leading up to first ball on day four in New York City. Back to the highlights from yesterday. Top seed returning champ Iga Swiatek facing Daria Saviljohn. The Aussie said her goal was not to get double bageled, and she took care of that in the first game.
Yeah, the bakery was closed yesterday. Does that sort of some 2022 Iga vibes, where she wasn't necessarily at her best, but she was when it mattered most. Their set point 6-3. Saville played a very nice match, sort of a good competitor, hung in the rallies. One thing she did not do well, second serves 1 of 18. Hard to beat the number one player in the world and the defending champ when you win 1 second serve point the entire day. Otherwise, a very tight match. Iga had to dig, and you see by this scoreline here, Saville right in this match, but Iga with that whipping forehand came up with the goods when she had to. 23 winners on the day, including that one. She advances, but it was not easy.
We'll take on her best friend on tour, Kaya Yuan, next round. Still on a quarterfinal collision course, though, with Coco Gauff, who needed to get past 16-year-old Mira Andreeva. Chanda, rematch from Roland Garros.
And this one had a little less fanfare because of how well Gauff came out playing. Andreeva got the early break, but Gauff would win 4 games in a row to go up 4-1 in the first set, and was just aggressive. Whenever she had opportunities inside the court, she would have 24 winners over the course of the match. And she was going after her shots, both forehands and backhands, up at the net, 15 of 18 points won. That's the type of comprehensive tennis Gauff can play, and she did it beautifully against Andreeva, not really giving her a chance in this match.
Coco has now won 7 straight matches, and talked about some inspiration from another men's player afterwards.
I think I've learned the most is how they're able to handle the situations when they're not playing their best tennis. For example, Carlos in Cincinnati, he was losing a set every match pretty much. But I don't know, the way that he was still smiling. And I was like, okay, I need, like, if he can smile and he's number one in the world and he has all this pressure, he's supposed to beat Hubie, I guess, on paper, then I can do it in situations maybe where I'm most of the time now I'm not the underdog, but against, for example, like Iga or Sabalenka, those who I'm considered the underdog on paper, I can smile too. So I think I learned the most about their joy in matches and how I can transfer that, because I have a lot of joy in me, but I just seem to bottle it up when I play, and now I'm really just having fun and laughing and smiling, and I think it's making tennis more enjoyable.
Plenty of reason to smile for Coco Gauff through a couple of matches. How cool is that? That she looks at what Carlos is doing there, right around the same age, like, ah. He can have joy out there even when he's not winning. So can I.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most challenging things for a young, great player, especially someone that strives for perfection. Mm-hmm. You know, you see young, great players with so much weight on their shoulders, and Coco Gauff's one of the best competitors I've ever seen. So she holds herself to such a high standard. I think part of the evolution, and the biggest part, is the mental part, the ability to accept imperfection, the ability to deal with the average days and get through. And now she's found a new key, it sounds like, for her to do that, which is to try to stay happy and optimistic and not kind of rake herself over the coals in those moments. And if that key is, in fact, a key, look out rest of the WTA.
Yeah, exactly. Do you guys remember Danny Almonte, the Little League player who was, he was like 27 years old? I feel that way sometimes with Coco Gauff, not physically, but she is so wise. She speaks with substance. There's a smile, there's a likability, but there's real wisdom and real sort of self-measured and thoughtfulness in what she says. And yesterday it looked like 2 different generations, a couple we joked about, sort of teenage wasteland and 2 teenagers. It looked like a veteran against a rookie. And I just find Coco so impressive when she plays and the way she's measured and she resets. She plays like an adult, but she notices things. She's very observant. I'm just absolutely dazzled by her. And the fact that she's 19 doesn't quite add up.
Yeah, I would say exactly the same thing in terms of her awareness. That's so impressive to me. In the thick of her career, you can see how much she wants, you know, to succeed and excel and win these big events. But she's also looking around. She's seeing, you know, what other players are doing, especially the best in the world, and trying to learn from it. I think that's incredibly important because she's still young. She's still learning. She's still growing in terms of her career. I think embracing that aspect is only going to elevate her game. And the fact that, you know, she understands. You got to relax and
find some joy out there, mm-hmm. even in tough moments. It's just a tennis match. And at the end of the day, you may win, you may lose, but life goes on and you keep building, you keep growing. And I just love to see that about her right now.
She's giving everybody else a whole lot of joy. She played doubles yesterday with Jessie Pegula, hit a winner on a return, thought the match was over. It wasn't. They needed another game.
And she about it. Yeah.
Gronk was there. They're having a great time. It's a lot of smiles for Coco Gauff. Meantime, on the men's side, Novak Djokovic in action. It's hard to say. Novak Djokovic flying under the radar, but I mean, listen, this is the only major where he's never lost before the third round. He's not our first highlight of the day. Looking to get to 33-0, Paul.
Yeah, and look, Novak, I'm not sure it's possible for him to fly under the radar, but the expectations are so great. And when he continues to show magic like this, that topspin lob landing on the baseline, controlling rallies, Zapata Morales played a really nice first set, really did as well as he could to stay in rallies and try to use his big ground strokes. But look at that shot, just the ability to redirect and the comfort on the hard courts. And to me, that is the biggest question every player is going to have to ask himself against Novak. How am I going to make him uncomfortable enough? 3 out of 5 sets. And very few people can answer it, especially when he plays like he did these last 2 sets. A couple of breadsticks and just really awesome buttoned up tennis. Every time I watch him, just continue to clap and enjoy it.
Clinical, routine, 40th win of the year. He struck just 11 games in his first 2 matches. I mentioned this earlier. There's some sickness going around the tournament. Jimmy Arias said Dominic Thiem actually threw up before his match with Ben Shelton Shanda, and the first set was still very competitive.
Yeah, it was tight. And, you know, Thiem, he's finding some form this year. It's unfortunate he couldn't quite feel his best from start to finish in this match. But Shelton coming up with the goods when he needed it. Under some pressure, started the tiebreak, and he hits the perfect shot at the perfect moment. But Dominic Thiem, after going off court the end of that first set, tried to make a go of it, but just could not sustain. And that's a miserable feeling when you are feeling that sick in the middle of a match, a tight match, and he just couldn't continue. So unfortunate for Dominic Thiem. Hopefully he can continue to build on this year, the matches he's won, but a nice win going through for Ben Shelton.
Yeah, Shelton, third round of a major for the second time, and hope you feel better, Dommy. Taylor Fritz match. Well, this was on TV in the Paul Annacone household last night with Grey Goose Honey Deuces flowing. Fritz's game was flowing on court, Paul.
He was. He was just started off with a lot of power tennis, guys. And look, when Taylor's locked in and gets a lead like this and is able to start swinging freely with his power from the back of the court, it is really, truly impressive. And this is a tough matchup because, again, this is a match he's supposed to win. And Taylor puts a lot of pressure on himself. I talked about it with Coco. Same with this young man right here. He expects a ton. But Michael Russell doing such a great job sprinkling that gold dust around to try to make sure he maintains composure, clarity about how he wants to play. And other than his 69 mile an hour second serve, I was pretty impressed with what he did yesterday.
You said Novak Djokovic has only lost 11 games through 2 matches. How about Taylor Fritz, who could play him in the quarterfinals? He's only lost 10 games in 2 matches. This is a guy who won't have to face another seeded player until the last 8. Great chance to make his deepest run in New York. When we come back, it was the first meeting of former major champs at this year's U.S. Open. Caroline Wozniacki and Petra Kvitova renewing their rivalry. Next on TC Live.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Beautiful day in New York City. Ruben Annacone, we're Tom Weissman back on TC Live at the U.S. Open. Highlights continue. American Francis Tiafoe Paul looking to make the third round for the fourth straight year in New York. No trouble with Sebastian Offner.
Yeah, just a really buttoned up performance. Look at Francis here opening the court up again with the shot awareness, closes to finish. He just seems so locked in. Look, we're talking only about two rounds so far, but he has looked dialed in. Looks like he's very clear about what he's trying to do. And, gang, we know he loves playing in the Big Apple. So the energy's going to be there. The positivity's going to be there. And yesterday, just a lot of impressive stuff. Really just knocked Offner off his box and able to really impose offensive tennis throughout the match. Look at him come forward again. Beautiful feel. Just thrives on all the positive vibes from the fan. It is going to be a fun couple weeks, I think, for Francis Tiafoe here. Just too much firepower and really good shot selection in three straight sets. That's a huge sign for Francis.
21 winners said, I feel so comfortable on this court. Looking very comfy as well. Back into round three is Big Foe. Meantime, Tommy Paul lost to Roman Safiulin 9 years ago in the U.S. Open Juniors. John, he has been waiting for his revenge, and he did it in epic comeback fashion.
Yeah, it looked like it wasn't going to happen for the first 90 minutes or so. Awesome. Flat as a tennis court, but then he snapped back. But not the only nice player, Wimbledon quarters just last month. Tommy Paul, though, he's kind of reached the semis of the last hardcore major. He's in the top 15, and he really turned this match right here in the third set. You saw he got the early break, and from there, totally different match. His margins changed. You see the athleticism he could bring to bear. He ended up with 10 aces, 43 winners. A very strange match, just in the sense that if this were best of three, he would be a very disappointed man, but turns it around in the third and then rolled home after that. Expect to see him on a bigger court from here on out. But nice win for Tommy Paul. Took more than 3 hours, and again, took him a while to get going, but when he did, he rolled home. Revenge.
Paul Annacone called it. He said after you lost that second set, he's not losing. He's not losing. First ever comeback from two down. Caroline Wozniacki with an homage to her good friend Serena, rocking the cat suit against Petra Kvitova, and she showed out like a lion on court, Chanda.
Yeah, especially in the teeth of the match, crunch times, we saw the quickness of Wozniacki on display. That was always a staple of her game. She was able to take that first set 7-5. And here, with a match point, she'd have a couple of them, but Kvitova, top 20 player now, right outside the world's top 10, she would not go down easily. This would go to a tie break. And credit to Wozniacki for just staying calm and relaxed. Kvitova there with the double, a lot of pressure, and she was feeling it. And in the end, Wozniacki gets a huge upset, real validation match.
First top 20 win in 5 years when she also beat Kvitova. That was at the WTA Finals. 40th win at the U.S. Open. Go,
Caro. Here in Arthur Ashe Stadium, night session, playing in front of a packed crowd. I mean, this couldn't be better. It's a dream come true. And if you'd asked me 3 years ago, I would have said I'll never be back here playing on this court. But to be back and to beat the world number 11 feels very, very special. So thank you, everyone, for coming out tonight and supporting me. It really means so much to me.
Awesome, awesome to see. What did Caro prove to you with that win last night, Paul?
Look, I just think she's an amazing human being, an incredible athlete, and we've seen it, you know, firsthand with her professionalism on camera, what mm-hmm. she does here with us. She's always prepared. She loves the game. She knows the game. And for a while, since she's been watching it, I think it's been rekindling that fire. I think she's like, okay, I've got my kids. I've got my family. I feel good. I'm playing a lot of tennis. Let's give it a shot. And last night, she showed us why she's giving it a shot. She's still a heck of a player.
You can stay in shape. You can still hit a nice ball. But you can't replicate playing a night match at the U.S. Open against a former major champion. So I think that really proved a lot. A little bit of a hot take. Is it Caro 2.0? I mean, it's like Svitolina. Are we seeing a little more aggression post-maternity? Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, mom's life, we talked about it at the top of the show. You know, you get a different kind of attitude. And I think, you know, there's a lot more focus we're seeing with players who are on the comeback trail, who have kind of settled into this next phase of their life with families, with kids. But they realize I still have goals. I still have things I want to do that I feel I can do out there. And there's some power in kind of taking that back personally. And I think for Wozniacki, we're seeing partly that mindset. But also Maybe the fact that she played Legends in Paris, she was like, nah, I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for this. Let's get some back on the tour and see what I can do there. But she's just been terrific. Only her third tournament back, and she gets a big win like this. She's fit. She looks healthy, happy. I mean, that's a great combination.
Yeah, she gets Jenny Brady next. Brady. Looking forward to that matchup. A couple of Tennis Channel commentators going head-to-head. Let's break down some matches going on today. We got big John Isner, who is back again against fellow American Michael Moe. The last dance for John Isner. Does it continue? How do you see this one going?
Well, it's on John Isner's racket, as it tends to be with most matches. For Michael Moe, it's very simple. How many returns can you get in play, and how athletic can you make the points? If you can do that over a long 3 out of 5 set match, he's got a good shot. If John hits targets on serves, plays offensive tennis returning, it's just what he does.
I think definitely for Mo, he's got to take care of his own service games, and that can be tricky against a guy like Isner, who can hold so easily, who can take the racket out of your hand, got to get it to a tie break if he can. Obviously, you look for chances to break serve, but the main thing is to take care of things on your side of the court. I think Mo can do that, but that's going to be a big challenge.
Big opportunity for Michael Moe, and as well as for John. But, you know, in the middle of his career, Michael Moe's had a sort of a sneaky good year and has had a lot of nice wins over top players. Here he is arriving for a big day, chance at the...
That's Arthur Fils coming in.
Michael Moe, he's beaten 5 top 20 players this year. So chance for a nice signature win for Michael Moe.
It certainly is. For John Isner, he would be the oldest American man to reach the third round at the U.S. Open since Jimmy Connors, when he made that semifinal push. So also playing doubles with Jack Sock. Looking forward to that.
Is he playing mixed, too?
John's not playing mixed.
Not playing mixed?
No.
Okay.
Jack is.
Jack's playing mixed?
Yeah.
With Coco.
Coco,
right?
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
If you're going to go out big.
Yeah.
Maximize your chances of winning.
Last American to win a major singles title. We've talked about Sofia Kenin. She's got Daria Kazatkina. Who do you give the edge to in this one?
You know, I think Kazatkina, she's been tough. I believe Kazatkina won the last time they played. I certainly think she has the edge. But Kenin, she's so dangerous. And when she can catch fire, obviously a major champion, she's got, you know, some of that belief that's still there. And it can turn within one match or you know, within a situation on court. I think, you know, that's going to be the key, is can she have the confidence to go after her shots, to use the backhand, to open up the court, not let Kazatkina dictate and control the tempo and the pacing. That's not going to be easy to do, but she's got a good shot, Kenin, and hopefully she can play well.
Who's the last player to beat Coco Gauff in a major? It's Kenin. I mean, it's such a strange 3 years. She won a major. She got to the final of another major. She's also dropped way into the triple digits in her ranking, but this is an opportunity. Kazatkina is a nice player to watch. She's fun to you know, as entertainment value. She's not someone who's going to blast Kenin off the court, so I think this could be a real battle.
I'm really looking forward to the matchup between Andy Murray and Grigor Dimitrov. Dimitrov had a heck of a comeback in his first-round match, and Andy Murray's Andy Murray. I mean, how do you see this one going, Paul?
Yeah, look, Grigor Dimitrov, still one of the best athletes on tour, has so many weapons to hurt everybody, and Andy Murray does what Grigor doesn't like to do, which is return your second serve unbelievably effectively. So this is going to be a great chess match. I look for the balance on offense for Andy to see if he can get really aggressive and try to dictate play. And for Grigor, I want to see if he tries to find his way into the net. It is going to be athletic, and it's going to be entertaining. Two great competitors. You bring the popcorn.
Yeah.
And I'll
bring the honey juices.
I'll bring the honey juices.
Okay.
All right.
12th time they are meeting. Not a lot of secrets here. And if it weren't only the head-to-head, Andy 8-3. If it weren't only the head-to-head, two members that used to work with Murray, now working with Grigor Dimitrov. So these two know each other well.
Murray going for his 50th win at the U.S. Open. There's always something with Andy Murray.
Numbers, know, man. It's a numbers game.
Pushing those numbers. Got his 200th Grand Slam win, the last one. So now 50th U.S. Open. Pretty good stuff.
Good division.
Yeah.
Right? 55.
A quarter of them at each one-ish.
Exactly.
All right. We're live inside the gym. And look at us in the middle TV. That's Chanda Rubin.
Wow,
everybody's watching you, Chanda.
Actually watching tennis.
It's the only pregame show for the U.S. Open. Players know that.
What else will they be watching?
More TC Live after a quick break. You can find us every morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, leading up to live coverage on ESPN at noon Eastern. Don't go anywhere. Paul, Steve, Chanda, John back on TC Live. There's Matteo Berrettini.
The boss.
Hugo Boss, man. Red Bull, man.
Sasha Zverev made his only major final in New York. That was, can you believe, 3 years ago? Takes on fellow German Daniel Altmaier today. Some big matches coming up. And before every day at the U.S. Open, Steve Tignor will give you his three to see, previewing a trifecta of top matches. Good ones today. We got Andy Murray, Grigor Dimitrov, Andrei Rublev, Gael Monfils. And you may be surprised by who he picked to win the Kenin Kazatkina match.
Maybe an American?
Maybe an American.
Read it.
Well, Ryan Day getting ready to lead Ohio State this Saturday for the start of the college football season, John. But he's got a little love for our sport as well, right?
Got a lot of love. We had a fun time putting together this piece on Ryan Day, the Ohio State football coach who hits a nice tennis ball as well. He just needs to control his temper a little bit.
He's an aggressive player, right?
Yeah, one-hander.
He is aggressive out there. Charge of the net.
Look at the strokes. Look awesome.
Come back tomorrow.
I like that. That's going to be on TC Live tomorrow. Big feature on Ryan Day. Tune in for that. Meantime, how about this? So Fiona Crawley, she didn't take her first-round prize money. To retain her eligibility, she plays at University of North Carolina. Chapel Hill won the NCAA doubles this year, team title as well. Was number one ranked player in the country for a while. But she's not happy that she can't take the money. Said, I would never take the money, never risk my eligibility, but I worked my butt off this week. Seems unreal to me that there are football and basketball players making millions in NIL deals. I can't take the money that I worked so hard for. And Fiona, I am with you. John's clapping as well.
Explain that to me, John.
Is 100. So we are in a world of NIL when college athletes can now make money on the side. They cannot make it through their sport, though. So she's absolutely right. $81,500. If she took that from a booster, she could keep it. If she did sponsored ads for the campus CBD oil distributorship, she could keep it. But by actually making that money playing her sport, she can't, because it would violate amateurism. She's absolutely correct, and it would be interesting to see if this was an offhand remark or if this actually could start some sort of movement, because it makes no sense.
If it doesn't start some sort of movement, that's a problem. Yeah. I mean, that's a huge issue, because there are just certain sports, as we all know, in college athletics, where your NIL value is going to be totally marginalized. But when you're able to do something that produces income by virtue of how good you are at it, like this, for her not to be able to reap the benefits, that makes zero sense to me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but it would make her a professional. And so,
but what's the difference between that and the NIL stuff?
I guess you're playing and your abilities did not get you that money, you know, specifically on the field or on the court. I mean, it's a debate I think is valid and fair. I mean, why not have that money be put into an account maybe for her for when does turn pro or when she does finish college? Like, I don't think that should just sort of fade away. And she talked about how hard she worked for it. She came through qualifying, right? Like, she earned that money.
Right.
And so it's an even bigger insult to injury. So I can certainly understand the argument. And maybe there are some things, to your point, Paul, that can be done for that money to be kind of in trust.
At the end of the day, Tar Heel Nation come together, some boosters, and somebody get $81,500 and tell Fiona to sponsor your car shop or something like that, right?
That she could keep.
That she could keep. That's exactly it. And we love the fact that she's continuing to play college tennis. The newly enhanced USOpenShop.org is the official shop for 2023 U.S. Open merchandise. Get U.S. Open gear for the whole family. Check out a variety of one-of-a-kind U.S. Open accessories. Visit USOpenShop.org today. Back with your people, stars in the stands, and look ahead to the big matches right here on TC Live.
TC Live at the U.S. Open is brought to you in part by Tennis Express. We deliver tennis right to your front door. Order today, ships today.
Back with our People Magazine stars in the stands. Who was there? How about Olympic gold medal skiing legend Lindsey Vonn? And John, who's right behind Lindsey?
It's like Alec Baldwin and Ilaria right behind Lindsey Vonn.
Yes.
Definitely Alec Baldwin.
Good
Lindsey Vonn, good tennis fan. She shows up at a lot of these events.
Yeah, Tracy was talking about that earlier. And how about Olympic gold medal gymnast Lori Hernandez, an actor turned White House staffer, Cal Penn?
Nice little variety. It was always so good to see the faces in the stands and how many people come together at the U.S. Open. And keep the rackets in hands and keep the people's people in the stands.
I don't know if they serve White Castle.
No?
Yeah, that's right.
Kumar Patel reference.
Might be $25. For more Stars in the Stands, visit people.com. You heard the music, John. That means it's time for your stat of the day.
All right. What do we got? Shazam it. Here we have poor Casper Ruud, Steve. Talk about up and down, right? This is like Lombard Street of results. He's been to three major finals in the last 15 months or so. Two of those in Paris last year at the U.S. Open. But amid those results, there are some early round losses, including a second rounder here. Very strange. A feast or famine Casper, Sahara or icebergs Casper, you never know what you're getting. Now you can buy shares of his career.
Yes,
so
right.
If you want a wild ride investing, this is going to be like Casper crypto. Feast or famine, a lot of Delta.
The twists and turns. I like the Lombard Street reference there in San Francisco. Breaking down some matches that are coming up today. Carlos Alcaraz in action against Lloyd Harris. He's had some injuries. He's had the wrist problems, Paul. But he has made a quarterfinal in New York. How can he challenge Alcaraz today?
Well, look, Harris is a terrific athlete. The biggest question mark has been his longevity and resiliency with the injuries that have just been rough as of late. He can play big, athletic, strong tennis. Can he do it 3 out of 5 set against Carlitos? We will see shortly. But Alcaraz, I think, has so much variety in how he can hurt you. And the thing that continues to amaze me is his balance, his ability to figure out different ways to use all those golf clubs in his golf bag. So I think a little too much of a question for Harris at this juncture right now.
At this juncture, John, we've got a good one between Andre Rublev and Gael Monfils. Right? So
yeah.
What do you think?
Well, it's funny. I mean, we saw more than 100 points separate them in the rankings, more than a decade chronologically in years separate them. And yet, I think Gael's got a real chance of an upset here. He's been playing awfully well since he's back. He feeds off the crowd. Rublev also is prone to some very strange results. I'm starting to feel like this could be Gael time. What do you think?
I think he looks good for it. I think the matchup works for Gael if he's playing as well as we've been seeing him play.
I'm with you there. I think if he's healthy, like if he can get through the entire match,
smells upset.
I think he can win this one. The other half of Gem's life is also in action, so we'll see if they're in the player box as well. Elena Svitolina, Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova. The Russian leads at 3-2 head-to-head, but who takes it today?
You know, I think this is a good opportunity for Elena Svitolina. I think the matchup works. You know, the familiarity, I think that's not necessarily a bad thing either. But she's so quick around the court, Svitolina. She gets to those extra balls. That can force Pavlyuchenkova into some errors. She's not as confident as we've seen her at times in her career, Pavlyuchenkova. So I think for Svitolina, she's got to like what she's going to get and how she can counter it and defend. And I also think Svitolina's been turning the tables a little bit more. She's getting more aggressive. Mm-hmm. She had 22 winners in her first-round match against Fritzam. Now, that's not Pavlyuchenkova, but still, I think that gives her the confidence to go after shots when she does have the opportunity. I like her chances. Yep.
Gem's life is really dominating Tsitsidosa right now.
Oh, yeah.
In all aspects.
Right?
I mean, it's crazy. That is another TC Live at the U.S. Open on day 4. When we come back tomorrow, it's going to be talking about third-round matches. We're already in the third round. A Friday.
Get ready. Get ready.
Awesome stuff. For Paul, John, Chanda, our entire team, I'm Steve Weissman. Thank you so much for joining us here on TC Live. Enjoy the tennis today.